Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We have more information and related resources at probe.org/podcast. And please check out our two conferences, a Mind Games Caribbean Cruise and our week-long National Student Mind Games Camp for college-bound students.
The sad thing is, you're a captive and don't even know it. Discover the names of the chains that bind you with Kirby Anderson, now on Probe.
God has laid a powerful vision on Probe Ministries, calling us to free the minds of 50 million culturally captive Christians and build them into confident ambassadors for Christ by the year 2020. Our survey analysis has shown that cultural captivity is a growing problem within the church. To be effective in this mission, we need to understand the different forms cultural captivity can take individually and collectively. Does the Bible provide any insight into cultural captivity and the tools for setting believers free? Well, last spring we looked at different types of cultural captivity: carnal, confused, compromised, and contented. This week we'll see insights from the second chapter of Colossians. In Colossians 2:8, Paul warns the local Christians, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception." And then he reminds them that they are complete in Christ. He does this so that they can begin to understand how they are complete in Christ. How can I avoid it and free myself in the power of Christ? Surely the Christians in Colossae were asking the same questions. Paul thought as much, as he actually points out four different views that may take genuine Christians captive and keep them from doing their part in the war of ideas. In Colossians 2:1-4, Paul warns us that we need a true knowledge of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we don't completely understand the fullness of Christ and his work of redemption, we are setting ourselves up for those who would delude you with persuasive arguments. We must fully grasp that Christ alone is necessary and sufficient for our salvation. We must believe it in the day-to-day living of our lives, being rooted and grounded in him. In the remainder of the second chapter, Paul lists four specific ways that our thinking can be taken captive by the philosophy of men through persuasive arguments. It is important to remember that these arguments are called persuasive, meaning that they appear to make good sense and have the power to sway our thinking. It is only by examining these arguments in the light of Christ's truth that their falsehood comes to light. This week we'll examine each of the four, considering how they would appear to the Colossian Christians of the day and how they might play out in this decade. The examples of cultural captivity exposed by Paul and still relevant to our lives today are naturalism, legalism, mysticism, and asceticism. Beginning tomorrow, we'll explore each one in turn.
This has been Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. Don't be a captive, be complete in Christ. Steve Cable's transcript, Captive to Empty Deception, is yours free by going to probe.org/radio. That's probe.org/radio. And join us next time as we reclaim and proclaim the truth, God's truth, here on Probe.
We are exploring the cultural captivity identified in Colossians and its prevalence in our world today. Cultural captivity is a voluntary limiting of the work of Christ in our lives caused by putting our trust in something other than the person and promises of Christ. The first type of cultural captivity highlighted in Colossians is found in our key verse, chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. This verse has the only occurrence of the word philosophy in the Bible. The Greek word literally means the investigation of truth and nature, as emphasized by the remainder of this verse. Thinking in accordance with the tradition of men and the elementary principles of the world can captivate us. The ways in which man explains how the world works and how it fits into this can be a deceptive trap. In Galatians 4:3, Paul tells us that apart from Christ, we are held in bondage by the elementary principles of the world. When we try to limit the forces at work in our universe to simply those elementary forces operating in our daily lives, we are missing out on the powerful work of Christ in our world far above and beyond the everyday forces of nature. So what are the elementary principles that lure us into captivity today? Well, certainly one of those would be neo-Darwinism. As discussed in many articles on probe.org, the idea of neo-Darwinism says that the world is the result of the strictly natural processes of random mutations and natural selection. This theory, attempted to describe the current diversity and complexity of life on this earth, is the dominant view in our society. It is seen by many as the culmination of understanding our existence in the world. In fact, it is full of problems, having no plausible explanations for, number one, the existence of life-supporting planet, number two, the first occurrence of life on this planet, and number three, the irreducible complexity of life forms on this planet. I would suggest that those Christians who put Christ's role in our creation at a level below these elementary principles are allowing themselves to be taken captive. If one believes that these principles are Lord over Christ instead of the other way around, that person is living practically as a citizen of this earth rather than a citizen of heaven. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we consider the second form of cultural captivity, that is, legalism. Today we will look at the second form of cultural captivity identified in the letter to the Colossians, namely legalism. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Here Paul was warning against those attempting to take Christians captive through the subtle lies of legalism, telling these new Gentile followers that believing in Christ was a good start, but you also need to follow some of the laws of Moses if you are to be righteous before God. Notice the items listed in this verse are not instructions on purity and righteous behavior. Rather, they are specific practices given to Israel as precursors of the coming Messiah. For example, the festival of the Passover is a marvelous foreshadowing of Christ's sacrifice of himself as the Lamb of God to deliver us from the slavery to the world of sin and separation from God. But why celebrate the Passover when one can celebrate the real event? These behaviors designed to prepare us for the coming of Christ are no longer necessary now that we have the presence of Christ in our lives. In the American culture, legalism seems to have been more prevalent in the 19th and 20th century than today, but there are certainly forms of legalism which take people captive today. And if you're more interested in passing laws to make some form of Christian behavior the law of the land than you are in changing the hearts of men through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you may be captive to legalistic thinking. Another form of legalism is the practice of picking only parts of the truth as applicable to you. Jesus noted in Matthew 15, this type of legalism was present in the Pharisaical view of committing their resources to God so that they would not have to help their father and mother. Today, I can customize my religious beliefs to conform to what I expect from my religion rather than what my religion sets as a standard for my life. The National Survey of Youth and Religion tells us that over 51% of 18 to 23-year-olds in America say that it is okay to pick and choose their religious beliefs without having to accept the teachings of their religious faith as a whole. Tomorrow we'll continue by looking at another common form of captivity in America, that is, mysticism. Earlier this week, we saw naturalism and legalism as two forms of cultural captivity for Christians. Today, we will consider another form which has taken us captive, and that is mysticism. In Colossians 2, 18 and 19, Paul writes, "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God." Here, Paul is describing someone who drifts away by delighting in self-derived sources of truth, that is, visions he has seen, and other religious practices not taught by Christ. This person delights in mixing together teachings from different religions to come up with one's own personal religious experience. But Christ calls us to worship the Father and the Son, not angels, our own self-sacrifice. Your first reaction may be that this is not a major area of captivity for today's Christians. However, when we begin to consider examples of this type of thinking, we realize that it has become much more prevalent in our society. For example, consider the millions of people joining Oprah Winfrey in extolling and following the teachings of Eckhart Tolle, author of A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. Tolle teaches a version of Eastern mysticism which he discovered in a vision. taking his stand on visions, he teaches that we are all part of the universal life force to which we would desire to return. He selectively misquotes Jesus throughout the book, identifying as one of the early proponents of this mystic religion. Most of Tolle's followers come from Christian backgrounds, professing to be Christians, trying to find a way to integrate his teaching with the teachings of Jesus. One feature of Tolle's teaching is the view that Jesus was one of many who were bringing a form of truth to us. He believes that Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, and all are trying to communicate the same truth in different ways. This viewpoint is seen in the National Study of Youth and Religion, where over 70% of American 18 to 23-year-olds disagree with the idea that only one religion was true. And in our study of American born-agains between 18 and 40, we found that less than half of these born-agains believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, not Muhammad or Buddha. Tomorrow we'll look at the last type of cultural captivity identified in Colossians chapter 2, that is, asceticism. Today we will consider asceticism, a fourth form of cultural captivity identified in Colossians. The American Heritage Dictionary defines asceticism as the doctrine that a life of extreme self-denial and austerity releases the soul from bondage from the body and permits union with the divine. Asceticism was promoted in Jesus' time by the Essenes of the Jewish culture and the Stoics of the Greek culture. Since our hope is rooted in an imperishable life in heaven, one could adopt this view that the earthly body needs to be denied in light of our heavenly home. However, Paul warns us that if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commands and teachings of men. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Paul warns the Christians at Colossae not to fall for the idea that we must remove our body from all pleasures of the world to partake of the divine. He points out that the obsession with self-abasement and severe treatment of the body actually focus our attention on the flesh. Thus, our focus is on eliminating fleshly indulgence rather than on living lives that please Jesus. In our postmodern American culture, severe treatment of the body does not appear to be attractive to most young people. Perhaps it is evidenced by some forms of the Buy Green movement, but what we do see is the opposite extreme, where an emphasis on bodily enhancement for the here and now takes our focus off of the work of Christ. Of course, in other parts of the world, such as South America, extreme asceticism is practiced among some believers. So this week we have seen four types of false teaching that can take Christians captive in Colossae of the first century and in America today. These four types are naturalism, legalism, mysticism, and asceticism. If we recognize these forms of captivity as Christians, we can be free of them. We must ask ourselves, does this way of thinking add anything to the fullness of Christ? If I'm already complete in Him, how can these add-ons make me more complete? Obviously, they cannot. So leave them behind as you receive Christ as Lord, so walk in Him.